Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. I've been away, and there's been so much soccer these last 2 weeks. It's unbelievable. I did say I was going to come thick and frantic. Got a lot to talk about, and pretty much sticking to Premier League this next hour. I have to go the whole way back to December 19th, which feels like so long ago. Goodison Park, Everton versus Liverpool. That was the start of pretty much the last few weeks of just absolutely game, crazy football.
Such a great game, just end to end. And it was like, man, I think there was like 8 minutes of like injury time, and he scored in like the 94th, 95th minute, I think it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, you felt like, again, those are the games that you grind out 3 points, get the win, and move on. And for it to be Merseyside derby, it was pretty. Because we watched it, and me and you were placing bets on each of us picked two players to get sent off. And I think you had Barkley and Lovren, and I can't remember who I had, but yeah, it was a bit fiery that second half. But yeah, no, good game, great result for Liverpool. I mean, they do look like the real deal, and like I said, to win titles, you need to ground out 3 points in those type of games, and they definitely did that. So.
Like, right. Liverpool grounded out, but like for me, like it was finally how I wanted to see Everton play this year. Like, it was kind of what I was expecting for them to bring to the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely definitely entertaining game, yeah.
Just to point out, though, like the creepy little child's voice in the background, that's Ryan's kids in the studio. The studio was not haunted by, like, you can hear her in the background. She's busily playing the iPod.
Just watching a bit of Paw Patrol, aren't you? As you do on a Sunday evening.
And we do have Carter back this week, the intern. Quick question. I want to put this out here. We're on live, Facebook Live, and we'll get to our opinions of the game and this result. But, like, I want to know, what do you guys think? Mkhitaryan's goal or Giroud's goal? Whose was better? I think I know what the answer is going to be. We'll get to that. But this is for you guys. I want you to, if you're on Facebook Live, you can email us. I want to know what you guys think of the goal.
I just think it's cool that we got two scorpion kicks so close.
Right, within like 3 days. Ridiculous. All right, so the next game's rolled up on Boxing Day, which is the 26th. KCOM Stadium, Hull versus Man City. No real surprise here, Ryan. I mean, Man City pretty much could have annihilated Hull with their eyes closed.
I'll tell you what, you say that. Hull, they didn't score until like the 72nd minute, and it was a penalty, and it was a real stupid challenge by the right back. No, that was the left back. Really just lunged at him. Mm. Yeah, it wasn't good.
The last goal was an own goal.
Yeah, honestly, that result does not pay justice to I wouldn't say how well Hull played. Mm. They defended reasonably well. To be fair, and just City going forward, they were just lacking something. But look, they got the penalty. Torre dispatched it, and then I think about 6 minutes later, Iheanacho scored an absolute tap-in, which was actually a really well-worked goal.
Right.
I think like Sterling went out onto the right and put it in across the six-yard box, and he just pokes it home, but it was a really well-worked goal. And then it was at Calvin Davis in like the 94th minute with an own goal, so 3-0. So, yeah, I actually think the result doesn't do justice to actually a fair reflection on the game. Hull were definitely in it.
Mm. When's Aguero back? Is he back?
He is back. You just don't see him because he did nothing against Liverpool.
Nothing in the box. He had zero touches in the box the entire game against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Mm. It was funny. I was reading a thing about him the other day where they were just saying, like, he's one of those guys that just refuses to practice. That he comes to
some players are like that, though.
Play, care less. Yeah. But
on the day
he shows up,
yeah.
For that match,
the one we don't talk about. All right, the next game is at Emirates Stadium, Arsenal versus West Bromwich Albion. Giroud on the 86th minute.
That was definitely a battle. You know, we always have a tough time against Tony Pulis, no matter what.
That's because half the players are ex-Man United. So.
Giroud's gotten a couple starts lately. He's proven his worth as always. He's actually scored a goal in each of his last 8 appearances, going back to even last season, and that's in all competitions. We seem to be doing a good job of getting service to him, crosses into the box, and just like he did against you boys, late on, comes in clutch. Overall, I think it was a pretty lackluster performance, but we got the 3 points.
Yeah. All right, well, next game, the Turf Moor, Burnley versus Middlesbrough. 1 goal, Burnley 1.
Tell you what a great like kind of end of the calendar year for Burnley, because I was starting to worry about them. And obviously Andre Gray gets the goal 10 minutes from time. Burnley actually played really well, thoroughly deserved the 3 points. And then obviously scores a hat-trick this weekend against Sunderland. And we'll get to that game because the defending was absolutely shocking. Absolute shocking. The worst I've seen all season. And Moisey agrees with me, so that's good.
Which, I've heard several people, like, we're not talking Man U yet, but Ibrahimovic, the man scoring. Has the defense gotten softer in the Premier League this year? Because across the board, like, it seems like there's a lot of games where the defenses just aren't showing up, the keepers are looking bad. And for me, like, we used to always talk about how great the defense was in the Premier League and how guys, like a Messi, maybe he would come and couldn't handle it because they're just so big, physical. But it's just like, it's kind of lackluster this year.
Yeah, I think the one thing I would say is, like, I'd say in the past 18 months, let's say, teams have really splashed the cash for guys that can stick the ball in the back of the net.
That's true.
Great midfielders that can create an extra three yards, let's say, for an average, not an average attacker, they're all good, but a good attacker who can put the ball in the back of the net. So that all kind of like weighs in and kind of gets you over the line with that. So, yeah, but the bottom team's defense are always going to get ripped apart by these types of players, and they're just kind of proving it week in, week out. So,
Well, next game, Chelsea versus Bournemouth. 3-0 to Chelsea. This seems to be going on, steamrolling through teams still. Are they going to let up, or are they the real deal this year?
I hope Tottenham beats them on Wednesday.
That'd be huge.
I want to see draws.
I think.
Yeah, draw or loss.
I want to see boring draws. That's what I want to see.
I honestly think, I don't see them really slipping up. And I think when they do slip up and, let's say, lose a game or draw a game, they'll just probably go on another 5-game run.
Right. And people are talking about when is their slip up going to be? They had their slip up at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And then they found their form.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, like, Conte for me has definitely been, to this point, manager of the year.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the scary thing is, and there's no disrespect to, Arsenal, because United are in kind of the same category, where we're, winning games by, maybe 1 goal, or we're Giroud scored pretty late on against West Brom. We scored obviously late on to beat quite a few teams actually in our little run that we got going. But Chelsea are just running over teams. And it's not like it's not like a team's in it to the 60th minute. I know Stoke got back in the game, but boom, straight, foot on the pedal, bang, bang, 4-2. But the Bournemouth game, it was very, Pedro scored, great, great goal, 24 minutes. Just kind of digs it out under his feet and kind of a clip chip bender into the top corner, and then Hazard penalty, and then Cook own goal. But you know what I mean? They're not leaving it late. They're not letting teams back into games.
One went away from breaking Arsenal's 13 unbeaten record.
Yeah.
So
They look good. I mean, you say they play Spurs on Wednesday?
Yeah, Spurs on Wednesday. That's going to be a cracker.
Absolute.
London derby.
Could be the best game of the season, coming up, because both teams are just, banging them in.
Harry Kane's back.
Yeah, and you know, you got Dele Alli stepping up and playing well.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, that's going to be an absolute stormer.
Yeah, some good games coming up this week. Don't forget, guys, you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us 434-2849-470 or facebook.com Blokes on the Bench. Question of the week, because we are going live, is whose goal was better, Mkhitaryan's or Giroud's from today? Also, a quick point out. I keep forgetting to say this, all right? I want to big up the Facebook EPL page from Charlottesville, because they're really starting to help grow the scene. If you're listening to this show and you're like, oh, I know nothing about soccer, maybe I found one of the games and I'm really interested, go to that page. We have nothing to do with it, I don't think, anyway.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot more posts.
Yeah,
space,
go to the Charlottesville EPL fan page. Join up. There's a community growing out there. I know there's a lot of people on there. Big shout out to Andrew. Was it Kinberg? Malcolm? You know, all these people are, you know, trying to get the scene growing. Question of the week. If you want to get involved with us, we're on Facebook Live right now. We want to know Mkhitaryan's goal or Giroud's goal. Whose was better? And we will get to our opinions of that in a little while. Okay, next game. The King Power Stadium, Leicester City versus Everton.
Everton looking good again.
Yeah.
Pulled it out.
Uh-huh.
Just so poor, aren't they? Yeah. Leicester was so poor.
They're terrible.
Especially at home as well.
Last year?
I mean,
is this the match where they printed a 30,000 Jamie Vardy mask?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
He hasn't been found anywhere else.
No, yeah. Mm. But
they're doing well in Europe, and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you had Morales on 51 and then Romelu Lukaku in, like, the 91st. Lukaku's still in pretty decent form for this month. I mean, he always seems to go through a little dry spell, actually, like, kind of this time of year.
Right.
But, no, I mean, Everton doing what they do. Like, I feel like they'll be a little disappointed in kind of yesterday's game. I think they drew 2-2 with Hull, and Ross Barkley got a late header. Obviously, we'll get to that. But I'm just saying, like, Everton are a little bit yo-yo at the moment, but they've kind of always been a bit like that. So,
what do you think of Ross Barkley? Do you think he's coming in?
I love him.
I always thought he was overrated. I thought he was the fat kid that looked like he'd been in the chip shop. But I think he's been let off the leash a bit, and he's been told, you know, you can do this, and he's actually shining a bit better.
Nowhere near as good as people want him to be, or even expect.
But do you think his potential is out there for him?
More Ural's former boy.
But do you think
right now Ross is playing because he's heard the chatter? He doesn't want to leave in January.
Right.
So he's kind of stepping up a hair.
How much would you pay? Okay, if you were a manager of a team, yeah. How much would you take all the price tags that we've had over the past 2 years? What price would you put on Ross Barkley?
26.7.
I was going to say 20.
You want to walk out of the studio in Iran? Or?
I'd honestly pay no more than 12. It's done nothing. I'd buy Andros Townsend before I bought Ross Barkley.
I hear they're offering.
And that's not even a joke. That sounds sarcastic. I'd buy Andros Townsend.
Nah, I get your point.
Before Ross.
I've been a fan of Barkley's. I like the guy.
I do too.
I think Henderson used to like him until he tried to take his ankle out in that Merseyside derby.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Oh, my God.
He's one of those players that, on his day, he can really control and affect the game.
Right.
I've seen it. Once in a blue moon. Well done, Ross.
All right, so Monday the 26th, we're still on Boxing Day here. Go on, Ryan.
No, classic Ross. Let it go.
Okay. Man United versus Sunderland. Dear Dali Blind...
Good old Dally.
Yeah,
Blind.
I was glad to see Daly get on the score.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Daly get a tally.
It was a good finish, actually. And a great run from, considering he was playing like left back. Great run.
Was that the game Mkhitaryan did the Scorpion?
Yeah, Scorpion kick. But then you had a really tidy finish from Zlatan.
Oh, it was class.
Yeah. Just, I mean, again, let's talk a little bit. Okay, we know about the goals. Zlatan's was a great finish. Mkhitaryan's was just outlandish. Was offside, but... But for me, even Barini's goal was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Top corner had De Gea rooted to the spot.
So how does that make you feel, though, if you're De Gea? And you've got a clean sheet, you're up 3-0, and then the 91st minute.
Honestly, those ones where you could literally probably have three people in the net, you ain't going to save it. Those are the ones you hold your hands up. It's the scrappy ones in the 91st minute that you get a little bit annoyed at. because, you know, that's how they get their bonuses, the back four and the goalkeeper. So I'm sure he's a little bit annoyed at that. But let's talk about Sunderland for a sec. They actually, in parts of that game, even though we absolutely dominated, in parts of that game, they really did really good at, like, kind of blocking little avenues between defense and midfield. But that's because their midfield was basically part of their back four, right? Because they did nothing in the first half.
I tell you, David Moyes, he gets his decisions right. He's a tactician.
It's, dude, it was... And Sunderland's defending, especially on the Ibrahimovic goal. I can't remember who it was. I can't remember what his name is now. It's the big dude, plays at the back. He was absolute... It was the worst performance I've seen by a defender this whole season yesterday when they got beat 4-1 by Burnley. I can't think what his name is. Played alongside John O'Shea. He was absolutely shocking, yeah? And we'll get to that. But in the United game, he passes it straight to Pogba, and Pogba just knocks it around. Yeah, and Zlatan sticks it in. That was huge for Man United. Like, get that 2-0 cushion, and then obviously the Mkhitaryan scorpion kick goal was.
Zlatan finally banging him in. He's got 12 now.
Yeah, it's not a finally. But he started off really well. He kind of hit that little bump where he wasn't.
Yeah, but that little bump that he wasn't scoring, the whole team wasn't doing well.
Yeah,
he needs everyone behind him.
That was us
well.
Trying to figure out our midfield, I think.
But the thing is as well, like, the Sunderland game, where everyone talks, you know, okay, yeah, he got his goal, he's still on the thing. Two assists in that game as well.
Yeah.
Two assists. Great little pass for Blin, great finish, and he's the one who crossed it in for Mkhitaryan, so... Right. Yeah, no, good. She's just cheering back there because she's a huge man.
Soundtrack for today's show was brought by Maddie.
Yeah.
Future radio soundtrack.
She heard us talking about Man United. She had to chime in. Way to go, girl.
All right, guys, the time is coming up to 20 past the hour. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back. The next game, Swansea versus West Ham. Did anyone else catch this game? Anyone?
I don't think anybody's watching Swansea.
No, I think Swansea are the only ones watching Swansea. Terrible. Absolutely dreadful. And we do want to talk about Swansea, Ryan. I know you were wanting to bring up just how bad they're doing. Yeah, Bob Bradley obviously is out.
Yeah, let's start. I mean, the result speaks for itself. At home, they got thumped 4-1 against a team that is performing not very well also. Like, West Ham aren't firing on all cylinders. And they go there and drub them, basically, 4-1. But yeah, Swansea obviously got rid of Bob Bradley after, what was it, 11 games,
yeah.
And there's talk of the Bayern Munich assistant, Lambert, coming in, and doing a job. I'm telling you right now, with that core of players and what you have on offer, you could have Mourinho, Pep Guardiola, and Ancelotti as a trio going in there trying to rescue them, and it's just not going to happen. Those players are not performing.
So what do you do, though?
It's absolutely shocking.
Do you go poach a few players from the mid-table?
You have to.
Or?
All they need to do is go out and get
four
defenders, four midfielders, and one attacker. Not even joking. It's so poor. And they've got actually some decent players there, like Dyer, Sigurdsson. You know, Fabianski actually isn't a bad player. But I'm telling you, when you're playing in front of a back four... that don't even track runners, have no idea about positional sense in regards to your pocket. It's just shocking. It's the worst, some of the worst defending ever. Them and Sunderland as a defence, just, you could put the Swansea defenders in the Sunderland team alongside them. Give one team eight defenders and they'd still get thumped 4-1 every week. Absolutely shocking.
So why did Bob take the job? If he knew
this. It's a challenge.
He must have known it's impossible.
I mean, I think most managers in America want to be able to say that they were the first Premier League manager from the United States.
Because they have to write out a cover letter of intent, right, before they go for these jobs. I wonder what his looked like. I will sit in for 12 games as we lose and wait until somebody else gets hired. And you can pay me for it. How much did he make?
Okay, it probably wasn't a lot. It honestly wasn't. No chance.
No?
No way.
Right.
No way. I'd be surprised if you made more than £250,000 from those 12 games.
If that's the case, let me go manage Swansea.
Yeah. £250,000, I'll take.
Yeah.
I'll go over $30,000 a year and have a Swansea call.
All right, guys. Next game, Watford versus
Just a pass, Troy Deeney.
We'll take it away, goal. Mate.
Speaking
of got his pen.
100th goal.
It was a draw. It was 1-1. Sorry, go on.
NBC Sports behind the badge with Watford.
Yeah, watching that.
Yeah, series.
Really good.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, didn't mean to go.
No. Good.
They did
yeah.
a piece with Deeney the other week. It was fantastic.
It's pretty set because we're talking about Watford Crystal Palace, and last year they did a Crystal Palace one, which was really good as well. Really insightful.
And those are, I actually watch a lot of British TV. They're actually from a TV show called Match of the Day. We were talking about this the other day, how lucky American audiences are to watch these games.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because you don't understand, in England, you don't get half these games to watch.
As a kid growing up, we didn't even get MLS on TV. And
right,
you know, but you've got the best four leagues in the world on TV any given day of the week.
Yeah.
Right, but you see, Match of the Day... So much of, such of an institution.
Yeah, they basically own the rights to all 3 o'clock games, so... So if there's an early kickoff, that'll get shown on Sky Sports, right? If there's a late kickoff, like our 12:15 over here, that'll get shown on Sky Sports. All those like 6 to 8 games that say that are shown at 3 o'clock, nobody gets to watch those live unless you're at the ground, obviously.
Yeah.
until you know they all get shown at 10:40 on a Saturday night on Match of the Day, BBC One,
and that's just the highlights. But the Match of the Day show that I was about to talk about, that's where they get all their like a lot of their shows from. Like the behind-the-scenes stuff with Gary Lineker, that all comes from, a lot of it at least, from Match of the Day. So there you go. And you're cracking up another one. All right, moving on.
I'd like to thank our sponsors.
All right, Tuesday, the 27th, Liverpool versus Stoke. Stoke got an absolute trouncing here. Lallana opened in the scoring, 34th. Firmino, 44th.
Just great performance. I actually expected a little more from Stoke.
Is Lallana the best attacking midfielder right now in the league?
Yes.
Yeah. And actually, I correct myself. Lallana opened the scoring for Liverpool. The first goal was Walters, 12th minute, which actually was... Sorry?
When we picked up Shaw, I wanted Lallana.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that wanted that. And Lallana's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Just down to earth.
He's a little bit. The thing is with, can't believe I'm going to say it after we just said sure, but Lallana can be susceptible to being a little bit injury prone. But he's on a decent run now. And you know what? I hope he continues to stay fit, which hurts for me to say, considering he's a Liverpool player. But
I think it's going to be tough for Liverpool in the next coming weeks with Mane going to the African Nations of Cup, but. It looks like Coutinho is close to a return, so that might fill some of the void. Mm.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But you know what? They've got like I always get these two mixed up. Wanyama plays for Tottenham. Wijnaldum plays for Liverpool. He's stepped up in recent weeks, playing really good.
Yeah.
It looks like
that was a good buy.
Lucas Leiva's on his way out, which is kind of justified. I think he's like 31 now. Kind of done his stint. He's been there for a while, actually. Old Lucas. Never rated him. Never scores.
Wasn't he on the Champions League winning squad? I mean, I know that was a long time ago, but I think he was part of that squad.
Yeah.
Dirk Kuyt and...
If I could remember that guy's name, I'd be like, there's some players you've never heard of that are in that squad as well, mate. So.
All right. Next game, Southampton versus Tottenham. Jake must be kicking himself. He's not here with all these Tottenham results.
Tottenham looks good.
Anyone?
Tottenham,
I mean.
Yeah, they went 1-0 down, didn't they?
Well, yeah, but that was the thing. Like, Stoke beat... They went 1-0 up against Liverpool before they got trounced, and I remember... Southampton did exactly the same thing to Tottenham.
Yeah, but that's the thing about teams like Liverpool and Tottenham.
Once the goal's gone in, they turn it up.
It's not even that. They don't panic. Like, they know that they're going to create chances. They have so much belief in their front firepower. Always going to create chances, so they just don't panic. Yeah, it's a setback. Does it really throw... It doesn't throw a spanner in the works of like the way that they set up tactically for that game, yeah? If it's like the other way around, let's say like where Stoke have gone there with a game plan, like it's back to the Liverpool game a little bit, but Stoke have gone there with a game plan and Liverpool score within like
that's
10
it.
Minutes.
That's
yeah?
over.
They have to have a plan B and they need to be able to implement that almost immediately. But Liverpool and teams like Liverpool, Tottenham, Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City, they go with a plan, and they can be 2-0 down after 20 minutes. They're still going to create chances. They've still got a chance. So I think that's the huge difference. They just don't panic.
What I've also noticed about Liverpool is their front three, they're fluid. They'll switch roles. One will go to the left, the front. The two in the front will switch roles, so it confuses the people that are trying to actually mark these people.
Yeah, Firmino, his movement this season has been great. I think Klopp has worked on that with him, you know, in his stint there. And I wasn't really impressed when Firmino first came to the Premier League, but he seems like he's up for the task now.
Yeah,
he took a little time to settle in, didn't he? But, yeah, he's definitely... I know he scored against Stoke, but I think he's gone through a little bit of a dry spell. So it'd be interesting to see if he can turn it back on.
He also recently got a DUI.
Oh, yeah. It was on, like, Boxing... No, was it, like, Christmas? No.
I think it was a day or two
Christmas
before
Eve?
Boxing Day.
I think it was Christmas.
And it was in the morning. Yeah,
Merry Christmas, mate.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning in to the Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. You can get in contact with us, 434-284-9470. Let us know how your team's doing. We're on Facebook Live, so get us your questions through there, too. We also have a question of the week tonight. Mickey's goal, Mkhitaryan's goal for Man United, the Scorpion kick, or today's Giroud's goal. And we'll do our opinion of it, obviously, as we go along. But yeah, so there you go. One thing I will want to say about Tottenham, though, when you're talking about players that are kind of on a roll, Ali seems to be...
Fantastic.
Yeah.
This month is about time, isn't it? Because I think, you know, Spurs have been doing really well, but I think he's been a little bit of a passenger the first quarter of the season, if you like. But yeah, he's definitely turning it on a little bit.
And Harry Kane today's game.
Was that
like...
player for them that was really turning up early on in the season? And Christian Eriksen, I know some of my Tottenham friends would agree with me in contract disputes, and he hadn't really played very well until the last couple of weeks. So it seems like most of Tottenham's squad is firing on all cylinders now, and I hope they can take that in. I believe the game against Chelsea is at White Hart Lane, because I believe Tottenham already lost to them at the Bridge.
Right. So the next game, Hull versus Everton.
Spoke Everton, about it earlier.
Yeah, like, this is what I'll say about Everton, right? They are a great team, but... They have these games where against smaller competition where they don't seem to want to, they don't win the games. They just go for draws. I'm like, I don't know. What do you guys make of that?
Thought it was a great finish from Dawson. I'll start with that defender. He's on the best goal scoring thing of his life. And I think he's got to be, what, 33, 34? I think he's already scored like four this year.
Yeah.
My biggest thing with Everton is they can turn it on actually against top teams. Whenever you have... When you're like somebody like a United fan or even like an Arsenal fan, sorry, but you know, when they play those top teams like Chelsea, Man City, you expect if Everton put in a shift, they can beat anybody on their day. They can beat anybody on their day. But the thing they've always struggled with are these lower, actually preparing properly for these kind of lower half, bottom 10 teams. And look, Hull took it to them, they were at home. And I think the biggest problem for Hull is going to be trying to hold on to Snodgrass. Window's open now, and his set pieces. I mean, you saw the free kicks today, yesterday. One rattled the bar, and then literally about 10 minutes later, he just absolutely smashes one in the top corner. Unbelievable!
I think the unbelievable loss. I mean, win was the first loss that Everton actually had at Goodison this year.
Right.
Yeah, they're still not convincing, though. Like, I don't know. Like, they're just not that convincing.
All right, so the next game, Liverpool versus Man City. I thought this was... Yeah, I didn't really... This wasn't as good a game as I thought it was going to be. I thought. Maybe you thought differently, Ryan, but...
It's kind of the typical game for two teams kind of setting out not to want to... Like, not to lose, if that makes sense. You know, it's two teams that are set up tactically to not lose the game. And you kind of get the feeling from that when Liverpool scores so early, I think 8 minutes in, really great header. And then Liverpool disciplined enough to be able to defend well. I thought goalkeeper played well. Midfield was really tight. So, yeah, and you know what? You expect a little bit more from City. You do. You just expect a little bit more. And they never really... I never really felt like Liverpool were ever going to lose that game, even though there was, like, in that second half, that kind of 15-minute kind of, you know, possession was all Man City. Didn't really do a lot with it in the final third.
Is it because, I mean, this may sound silly, and you could shoot me down if I'm wrong here, but do you think this is two teams that maybe respected each other a bit too much on the field? Instead of just going for it and being like, you know what, let's just go for the win.
Yeah, could have been. I mean, that's always part of it. It's just, like I said, it's just two teams that... If you'd have offered both managers a point before the game, they'd have taken it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of those where you just... You take your point, and thanks very much.
Yeah. Just to point out, by the way, sorry to interrupt you, Ryan. So, these guys, Mark and Jeremy, have been talking for the last... Oh, just over half an hour, and we just found out your mic wasn't even on.
Man, I feel like I was having my best show. This is unfortunate. I apologize, guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry as well. Yeah, I do feel like these two teams... Yeah, 1-0 kind of... I didn't actually watch the game, right? But when I saw the result, I was thinking... Because I thought it was going to be like 4-3, and it could go either way. I wasn't thinking of 1-0 delivery.
Yeah, I guess City probably felt like me and Mark do right now. You know, we were there, we were taking part, but we weren't on the air.
Well right. said, Jeremy.
All right. Burnley versus Sunderland, Turf Moor.
Of course, turn the Americans' mics off.
Great. This is really awkward, yeah? All right, so Andre Gray, fair play to him, scores a hat-trick. Sunderland, the worst. I said earlier that the Swansea... defense in the previous game was the worst I'd seen, and Sunderland absolutely trumped them.
But can
yesterday.
We?
Shocking, absolutely atrocious. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I'm like laughing when I'm watching these goals. Just go if you go if all you do tonight, go on YouTube, watch the highlights. Burnley 4, Sunderland 1, and every single goal was either a missed header, two defenders running into each other like Keystone Cops. It was absolutely hilarious. It's just shocking. Shocking. Moisier, I don't know, he looked like he kind of turned a corner a little bit.
Well, can we just talk about how unfairly he was treated at United? It's like he just didn't get that chance he deserved. It's not like he was terrible at Valencia or continues to be terrible at Sunderland. He wasn't given the proper chance at United. What an idiot. God, he's terrible.
No more beer for that man down the end.
All right, Chelsea versus Stoke, 4-4.
I hate Moise.
4-0 to Chelsea. No surprise there against Stoke, to be honest. 4-2.
Yeah, they 4-2. Went 1-0 up, KO. Then Stoke got back in it. And then I think Willian scored. And then Peter Crouch.
4-2, actually.
Peter Crouch! Peter Crouch scores, gets him right back in it. What was it, 30-some seconds later?
What's that? Willian? How does he look?
3-2.
Willian's looked fantastic, I think, this season.
And Costa in the 85th, but... That's what I'm saying. Like they teams like the top teams, they just don't panic. And Chelsea are on such a high, such a confidence wave right now.
I said it beforehand. It's like the top five, top six have really separated themselves. They're winning the games they should win, and it's like everybody else is kind of just showing what.
There's a 9-point gap now. I think 9 points from sixth to seventh, which is huge. You've never seen that before in Premier League.
There's only three gaps between City and United as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's starting to punch up. It's just...
3 points in what I'm talking about.
That's what I mean. If the top two can like maybe drop a few points and that gets even more bunched, we're in for like probably the most exciting last, you know, four and a half months of Premier League history. So
that's definitely one... I mean, okay, I will say that like Champions League has maybe stolen a little bit away from the FA Cup and things like that. But I will say that it has added excitement to the Premier League with the fact that it's not just first place now.
Yeah,
because you know
like
if you take like the last few seasons, especially the season before last, was it when Chelsea that basically just ran off with it? the year before last.
Yeah.
Like, if there was no Champions League, nobody would care anymore. They'd be like, oh, well, coming in second, second to second, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but I mean...
Well, Wenger said it's like winning a trophy.
Yeah.
Because the money and the TV rights that you get, it brings a lot of money into the club.
Yeah. Right. That's what I mean. Like, the Champions League definitely has added excitement to our league.
Definitely.
So, all right, well, Leicester City, obviously, in the Champions League. Next game at the King Power Stadium. That was yesterday against West Ham.
Yeah, okay, the score line on this one, 1-0 Leicester. You think Slimani, great header.
Great header.
Great header in the 20th minute. And a lot of you think, oh, okay, just kind of maybe like kind of an uneventful 1-0. It was one of the most entertaining matches I've seen this year. It was absolute, just Leicester dominated the first half. Just absolutely brilliant. It was like almost like Leicester last year, yeah? Mahrez,
right.
Bunch of chances. Randolph pulls off one of the best saves you'll see this season. And it was just end-to-end. It was so good. And then they obviously bring Carroll on, and he had a couple of decent headers to get back in it. But it was end-to-end. It was really exciting football. I was so surprised it ended 1-0.
All right, guys, the time is coming up to 20-7. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back to the show, guys. All right, so Old Trafford, United 2, Middlesbrough 1, Fergie time. Reminiscent of...
It was his 75th birthday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm one of those games, the first game of the season, because Ryan and I have watched games, and you've told me not to turn the TV off. It's like 1-0. We're 1-0 down, and I'm frustrated, and I'm like, I'm turning the TV off, Ryan. I can't watch anymore. And you're like, just leave it on. We'll score. And we do. But this was the first game that it kind of felt like the olden days where, like, you know, you would watch it. We're 1-0 down, and we knew we're going to come back and trounce them. And we did.
Well, it was like, you know, okay, so it was 0-0 at halftime. At first half, we weren't that great. I mean, we dominated possession. They didn't even have a single shot on target, I don't think, in the first half. And we limited them to, I think it was about, like, 30% possession. And it was something ridiculous, like 3% in the final third.
35.
So, for the first half or entire game, mate?
Entire game, my bad.
There you go.
Not bad.
So, yeah, but we played well enough. We had some decent chances. Pogba with a bicycle kick off the post. Keeper made a couple of decent saves. Valdez made a couple of decent saves straight at him, to be fair.
What did you make of the Zlatan goal?
Great in the first half, except for, yeah, the Zlatan. That should have stood. That's not...
Even if he did put his boot through him. The goal was already, it was in the back of the net before he made contact, before he would ever have made contact anyway.
Yeah. And not only that, Valdez knows he's in absolute, like, no man's land, nowhere near it, feels a little bit of contact,
he stays on
the ground for about 5 minutes. I was shocked when injury time for the first half was 2 minutes. I was like, Valdez has been rolling around for four.
Yeah. But you know the best part was? Just before Martial scored, right? They were on the counter-attack against us, right? We pick it up and we bring it back. The camera goes into...
Valdez,
and he's smirking. And I said, you're going to get it, son.
Yeah, but it was right
ball
as...
Ball comes in.
Valdez.
Zlatan does that little bounce off his head. And, like, Martial just buries it.
Yeah.
Puts it straight through him as well.
Yeah, where was Valdez? Standing there doing a...
I thought he did have a good game apart from that bit.
Nah, poor goalkeeper.
And the other thing we're not talking about, Pogba's goal. He was, like... There was a header for... Like, how far out was he?
12 yards.
Yeah.
Just about.
I don't know how you get the power to be able to hit that.
Didn't put the power on it. The power was on the cross.
It's called he's a man,
just
Andy.
Just stick your head on it. But no, let's give Middlesbrough some credit. I mean, they came with a game plan. It worked for, you know, 67 minutes. I'm sure they just wanted a 0-0 or maybe nick a 1-1. But then they go in front with actually a really good goal. Really good goal. Great flick down from the Negredo. And Ledbetter put it in past De Gea. But I always felt like, then I was like, okay, we need to score by the 75th minute. We need to score by the 80th minute. And then finally when we did score in the 85th, it's like, okay.
It's our game.
Just one chance. Just one chance.
Fergie time.
Yeah. Minute later, Pogba with a header.
And then I think they're in opposition that are the most vulnerable so that as soon as you scored. Like, you can just...
Yeah.
Just hit him again.
No, it was it was really good. And the thing is as well, when you come to Old Trafford and you play us and you're 1-0 with 5 minutes to go and we get that first goal, The whole club built on this mentality is you never give up until the final whistle.
Yeah.
We're going to create chances. And the amount of times that we've won games that, you know, yes, we should have won that game. When you look at all the stats and stuff, we deservedly should have won that game, especially with the Ibra disallowed goal, stuff like that. But for us to actually be able to pull that out, yeah, that was huge to keep the momentum going, because we've been playing so well this past kind of 2 months, I would say. Yeah, we had a couple of draws, especially start of November, but yeah, we got a nice little run going. And
I was listening to like Steve McManaman and Steven Gerrard doing a bit of punditry back home, and like they were talking about how United, like Van Gaal got results. He did get results, but it's the way United play. It's that mentality. And Mourinho has finally, I think, that mentality's come back. It's not just getting the results for United. Like, there's big teams like United, Barcelona. There's a style. It's not just getting the points. Yeah. It's how you play. And I think that the reason that maybe people are like not understanding why United fans are now like kind of feeling a bit more optimistic, you know, you won, okay, fine. This feels like how we were playing 10, 15 years ago.
Well, let's not like go crazy, but I understand what you're saying. But the biggest thing that I'm most optimistic about is that we have the most reliable midfielder in the league, I think, consistently. Ander Herrera puts in a shift. I love the kid.
I think Mourinho's finally gotten that midfield. This is my best
theory. Yeah, I mean, you had Fellaini with a start yesterday, and, you know, he did enough. Did all right. Pogba is able to, you know, get off the leash a little bit, and he's actually doing stuff. But Mkhitaryan, the past 3-4 weeks, has been absolutely brilliant. That's what we've missed for so long. We thought Memphis Depay was going to come in and be this.
He looks like he's out
the lines, tucking in. No. Mata does it to a degree, but without Mkhitaryan's pace. Mata's more of a kind of tactician out on. He's almost, to me, I was so surprised actually when Mourinho let him go from Chelsea, because I feel like his footballing brain would be right up Mourinho's out. He's like kind of a mini-me out there on the pitch.
Yeah.
But Mkhitaryan drifting in, picking up the ball deep, and he's so direct as well, and that's been huge for United.
The thing I love about it is like with Mkhitaryan, Mourinho told him, you know, keep working hard. The man earned his spot on the field, and he's backed it up.
Yeah.
Martial this week.
Yeah.
Last week, he told, I mean, Mourinho said, work as hard as Mkhitaryan and some of these guys who fought their way in there, and you're going to get your time.
Yeah.
Comes in, has a great match, scores. So it's good to see the belief back and the guys wanting to play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, guys, the next game, St. Mary's, Southampton versus West Bromwich Albion. Was this a fair result?
It's hard to say. I'll tell you what, the
2-1, by the way,
Robson Kanu goal, worthy of winning any football match. Left foot, absolute bullet in the top corner. Shane Long scored his first goal of the season, which I was really surprised when they said that. But and then Matty Phillips with a decent finish. He's been playing pretty well, literally straight after. And like I said, Robson Kanu with an absolute thunderbolt.
Yeah.
Van Dijk got sent off in that game as well.
Went from hero to zero.
Yeah, he's going to miss 3 games now. But, yeah, no, I think fair result. Great result for West Ham.
Yeah.
You think Van Dijk goes anywhere this transfer window?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, next game, Liberty Stadium, Swansea versus Bournemouth. Again, no let-up for Swansea.
Yeah.
3-0.
3-0. Defence, absolutely shocking. Enough said. Fair play, Bournemouth.
Shocking defence. Shocking.
Great performance.
Hey, boy, Jack Wilshere having a good match.
You got man of the match, yeah. Man of the match performance for Jack. Played really well, actually.
All right, so here's your time to shine, Mark. Today.
Nah,
Arsenal versus Crystal Palace.
Nah, Giroud.
We wish you were the Terrier.
Not much.
An absolute wonder goal. Started with a great counterattack. I felt like we were clinical today in our passing and moving the ball around. Great dink in from Mr. Sanchez. He's dirty, now got a
dirty goal even.
He's now contributed to 19 goals this season, I believe.
So that was Sanchez with the assist, was it?
Absolutely.
So you're giving props to a dink into the box that was behind the star striker.
Dirty dink in Sanchez. Hey,
what a ball. I'll tell you what. Hey. Center forward, so I love it when players cross the ball in behind.
He hadn't played on the left in a while. He's been playing through the middle.
Amazing.
He's been playing through the middle.
It was filthy.
If in doubt, stick it out for a goal kick.
We need those shirts.
All right, guys, don't forget. We are tuning into Blitz on the Bench.
Dirty Deacon Sanchez.
434-284-9470 if you want to get in contact with us. Or hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/Blitz on the Bench. Yes, and I will let you continue, Mark. Continue now.
No, I mean, it just... Wenger said it was in the top five of his 20-year reign, and that includes goals like individual efforts from Henry at the Bernabeu against Madrid when he ran through the entire defense, Bergkamp's wonder goal against Newcastle, Henry's wonder goal against you boys, just that sublime crush from outside the box. So, I mean, let's get it started. Mkhitaryan or Giroud?
So the results are in, and you guys have overwhelmingly said Mkhitaryan's was the best. So new poll.
Funny because there's three Man U fans in this.
New poll question. Does Wenger look like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons? We want to hear your opinions.
Absolutely.
You know what? I'll give it up.
It was a great goal.
It was incredible.
He was onside.
Goal was the best goal I've seen this year. I mean, everything. I've said this before. I said this before we came in the thing. If you have a shot that comes off your rear end and hits the bar and goes in, it looks amazing.
Yeah, if you're not...
The fact that he did that, it hit the bar and went in.
If you're not like a soccer fan and you want to see the best goal and be like, wow, okay, I can give it up to them, look it up. Arsenal versus Crystal Palace today on YouTube. Like, Giroud's goal is just little scorpion dink.
Anything that hits the bar and goes in.
Even the Crystal Palace cheerleaders were all about it.
Giroud's look good lately, in all honesty. Yeah.
Did you hear the crowd? Like, as soon as the replay went, you hear the crowd go, ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, yeah, incredible.
You might, I reckon, honestly, I'm going to throw it out there. You might struggle to keep him. This window.
Really?
He said a couple of days ago that he's staying at the club, him and his agent.
Right. Which your boy Iwobi, too. I mean, you've told me about him all season long. And
he had a great performance today. Got a goal in the absence of Mesut Ozil.
Mesut Ozil.
Oh, that guy that really earns his paycheck, yeah. Oh,
most overrated player. Oh, all right, well, let's move on. We have to move on. Last game, Watford versus Tottenham, unfortunately. Jake, what did you make of the game? Oh, that's right, he's not here. Right. 4-0 again. Or, sorry, 4-1 even. What am I talking about?
You mean Alex?
I keep calling him Jake. Why
Jake,
is Jake
the Snake Roberts.
Yeah, sorry there. All right, but... Again,
I was looking at the
Dele Alli.
Jake
Carter?
He's not going to live it down, Alex. No. Is he? He's just going to.
You won't.
No. I won't. What am I talking about?
Dele Alli again.
With a brace.
Yeah.
And two pretty cheeky finishes, too.
Harry Kane got the first goal of the year, the new year, is what they were saying. So, yeah. I don't know how that works out. Oh, no, sorry. English player of the year. Because obviously Giroud and all the rest of it scored today, so... But there you go.
Well, the Tottenham game was before the Arsenal game.
All right, yeah, it was. Yeah, so it would have been that. Because I'm looking at the results here, and it's obviously the last one. I'm thinking, that doesn't make much sense. But yeah, you're right, it was the first one. So Harry Kane did get the first game. Our first goal of the year. All right, so the table. And again, we got games tomorrow this week. We got games this weekend, so... Chelsea are on top spot, obviously, no surprise there, and 49 points. Behind them, Liverpool in 43, Arsenal in 40, Tottenham in 39, Manchester City in 39, and Man United in 36. And then we drop into 7th spot, Everton, 27, 8th spot, West Bromwich Albion, 26, 9th, Southampton on 24, and also on 24, Bournemouth, they're sitting in 10th spot. Can United, I mean, I don't want to ramble on about United, obviously, but can we get a fourth spot here this year? Is it realistic?
Absolutely, we can, yeah.
We got to see the top four drop points.
But what I like our mentality at the moment.
Right.
Just game by game.
Take care of ourselves, game by game. 3 points, stick them on the board, see what happens. The beauty is...
We can only take care of our own destiny, not anyone else's.
Yeah? If we win every game from now until the rest of the season, I know it sounds stupid, but if we win every game, we finish fourth. Minimum fourth, I should say.
Moyes is going to do it tomorrow. He's going to have Sunderland beat Liverpool. So that's going to be 3 points there. I could see Burnley beating City in an alternate universe.
Look, Spurs are playing Chelsea on Wednesday, by the way.
That's...
Yeah.
I mean, Chelsea's not going to help us. What are they, 13 points clear of us?
Yeah. But yeah, so let's get to the game, the fixtures, by the way. So on Monday, tomorrow, we have Middlesbrough versus Leicester. What do you think of that?
Do you think
Leicester could actually pull it off against Middlesbrough? Probably not.
I reckon that'll finish. That might actually be a really good game.
I'm going to say negative one draw.
I'm going 2-2, mate.
Everton versus Southampton.
Everton 2-1.
Everton. I'm thinking Everton. Everton on a roll. Southampton just lost. Yeah.
Ball fest.
Yeah. Man City versus Burnley.
1-1.
You think?
Yep.
Sunderland versus...
Boys off a 4-1 victory.
Right. Sunderland versus Liverpool. I mean, Liverpool are going to...
Sunderland.
Is Sunderland there enough digits?
2-1.
Like 4-5?
I'm actually going to go... If Sunderland defend like they did yesterday, I kid you not, we could be up for a Premier League record.
I think Defoe wants an exit. He's going to score a brace. And like Ryan said, if they defend, we're looking at 2-1.
I'm actually going to... I'm going to go outlandish. I'm going to go out on a limb. This pains me to say... At the stadium alight as well. Liverpool 7, Sunderland. I'll give Defoe a goal. 1. 7-1. Put your tenner on that.
West Brom versus Hull.
2-1. West Brom.
Okay. West Ham versus Man United.
I'm going cheeky 2-0 Man United.
Because we played them twice. What was it?
Yeah.
It must have been November, right? I know. But yeah. That's just coming up quick again. All right, Bournemouth versus Arsenal.
Is this Arsenal.
Yeah, these are Tuesday's games, by the way. There's three sets.
2-2.
No way. We're gonna pull that victory out.
Last minute equaliser.
Crystal Palace versus Swansea. I mean,
oh, go Palace 4-0. Can't believe I'm saying that either.
Stoke versus Watford.
I'm gonna go Stoke 2-1.
All right, so Wednesday's games. Jake the Ghost.
Alex, who's been here.
The fictional person who doesn't actually exist.
Sorry, Alex. Sorry.
All right.
I miss you, Alex.
I miss you too, Alex, even though I couldn't remember your name.
We don't know.
AJ.
He looks like a Jake, all right? Yeah.
Spurs. What does Troy Deeney look like?
Spurs? Spurs versus Chelsea.
It's that White Hart Lane, isn't it?
Chelsea 2-1.
I'm going 3-1 Spurs.
Really?
Yeah, welcome to the club, buddy.
Really? That doesn't help us that much.
Chelsea drop. I'm going for first, mate. No prizes for second.
So we got 3 minutes. Transfer window opened up today.
Yeah.
There's obviously talk Schneiderlin's leaving, supposedly. West Brom.
Depay's leaving as well.
Yeah. Do we see Man U bringing in anybody?
There is one guy, that Swedish guy.
Yeah, they've... Cool, that they're not doing that.
Yeah, supposedly the right back is more. We needed him. Odds more to him. I can't even think of his name. Same team.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I haven't looked.
It's not gonna. The thing is, with the January stuff, it's not gonna. It's not really gonna kick off until
the end of January.
It's usually like about the 10th to the 21st. All the deals are pretty much done. It's like an 11-day kind of split of everything.
Do we see them playing sort of February then? Or like do you start seeing players actually
As soon
playing?
As they sign up, yeah.
Is Payet coming in? Does Payet even help us?
Payet says he wants to play for Arsenal.
No.
And we'd love to have you, Payet.
I don't see it.
You guys need a recognized striker.
I kind of don't want to unbalance like the way United look at the moment. Pretty good. I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about Martial going to, like, Sevilla.
Forget about it. All right, guys, that's it for this week. We don't have any, apart from the games during midweek, we don't actually have anything at the weekend, but we will be here on Sunday. thanks a lot to everybody. Obviously, Maddie for singing in the background.
Way to go, girl.
Jake for not being here. Ryan.
Happy New Year, blokes on the bench fans.
Happy New Year. See you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.